Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to be with you, and today's show is brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, imports, domestics, microbrews, and Zima. Wine coolers, water, soft drink, snacks, and Zima. The roast of peanuts freshen out every day, and the pickle bar is second to none, led by the barrels and the dills. They have all sorts of flavor of pickles there. It is Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Time now for our play-by-play call of the day.
The 2-1 swung on and yanked down the left field line. It is a fair ball, and it's going to the corner. Knapp around second, headed for third. Samwell waving him home. The relay to the plate. Sandoval's throw is late, and the Phillies have the lead.
Once again, cheating to break an 8-game losing streak, the Philadelphia Phillies. Why?
Avoid the sweep.
All right, I'm a Red Sox fan, so I have to admit they cheated. No. That's the only plausible explanation I have. Someone who comes up with plausible explanations every night is Phil Bork, the old two-niner. Phil, it's an absolute pleasure. First time you've been with us. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. I mean, there's so much to talk about with what's happened with the Penguins, and real pleasure to be on your show. Looking forward to it.
Well, let's talk about how this was done. Last year, they were able to do it by the call-ups from Scranton Wilkes-Barre that gave them the extra depth, gave them more speed. Every team's its own entity and has its own personality. What, in the end, distinguished this team from maybe a couple of others that you've seen?
Well, I think a little more of the same. I mean, you saw the youth again shining brightly, especially Jake Gensel and the way he played. Nobody saw that coming. We heard about this kid, and we heard he was a good college player, but he had no idea that he was going to make a splash like he did, not only in the regular season, but especially in the playoffs, where a lot of young kids can come up and have, 10, 15-game blocks where they're running off adrenaline, but the reality hits them come playoff time, and this kid Gensel was not overwhelmed by the situation at all. And there's Matt Murray again. Matt Murray comes in the relief of Marc-Andre Fleury after Fleury comes in the relief of Matt Murray. It's just the Pinguini way. You have to chuckle a little bit because you think about last year you had the HBK line and that, and Phil Kessel was pretty consistent throughout. But this year it seemed like it was a lot more difficult. The Penguins had to go through tougher opponents, more physical series, but that's the heart of a champion, to find a way. Sometimes you win ugly, but you don't get bonus points for winning ugly. A win to win.
Felt last year that you could have made an argument if you wanted for Chris Letang for the Conn Smythe. I mean, Crosby was the right choice, but I think you could have made that argument. Now they had to go through the stretch run of the regular season, Phil, and then the playoffs without him. How were the Penguins able to make up for that? One guy can't do it, so how did they make up for not having a guy who is that offensively effective with defensive skills?
Well, you're exactly right. I can't remember last time a team won the Stanley Cup without that, star defenseman, that one guy that was a game breaker. They didn't really have that guy. I mean, Justin Schultz had a couple of big moments. Ole Mata had some good games, some bad games. Brian Dumoulin and Ian Cole were the two most consistent defensemen. But the answer to your question is just with their depth, just with everybody kind of pulling up their bootstraps and giving 10% more. And I think the Penguins defensemen as a core, I think they kind of relished the fact that everybody was counting the whole team out and discounting them as NHL defensemen. And when Chris Letang went out, I don't think there was one so-called expert that said, man, I still like the Penguins' chances. I think they all said, they're done. There's no way. This group of defensemen that they have just can't fill that void. Well, they filled the void very admirably. And as I mentioned, they were under duress a lot. They were plastered against the boards in the Columbus series, as well as the Washington series, maybe the Ottawa series in Nashville, weren't as physical, but still demanding on that group. And, you know, Jacques Martin, the runs of defense, did a really good job of just balancing everything out. You look at the minutes played, they're all right around 20 minutes. So that tells me that they trusted, whether it was a Ron Hainsey or whoever was in there as a depth defenseman, they trusted them, they played them, and I think that paid dividends at the end because nobody had to carry a heavier ball than the other guy. And I think they're damn proud of the job they did considering everybody counted them out.
Phil, you mentioned Jacques Martin, along with Rick Tocchet, and, of course, the guy that runs it, Mike Sullivan. In order to do what they do, you have to have a real feel for this. What is it about Mike Sullivan and his feel for the game where he not only makes between-game adjustments but appears to make some in-game adjustments?
Yeah, there's not another coach in the league that can make in-game adjustments the way he can. It's just knowing your players. Part of it's just having a sixth sense, just having a gut instinct and going with that gut, so being brave enough to listen to that little voice inside your head, whether it's taking a timeout at the right time or dialing a guy down because he's not playing his best or putting a guy in the lineup or giving him more minutes, I should say, when he is going. Mike Sullivan's the best at that, as well as game-to-game adjustments that he makes. He's not afraid to swap his change his lineup even after a win. Some coaches are just hell-bent on staying with the same guys. And you know what I think of these guys? That once he came in as a head coach, he established a certain standard. And I think especially with the star players, this is the way it's going to be. That you're not going to be easy to play against. Teams are not going to be able to push your buttons. You're not going to be undisciplined like you were in the past and do it your way. I know your way won for you in 2009, but you had some pretty bad series against Philadelphia, against Boston, because you were trying to do it your way. We're going to do it my way. And he didn't really care if he got fired or not doing it, because he knew the team would win. And that conviction that he had, as well as being an outstanding communicator, I think it went a long way with the star players, which usually trickles down to the rest of the boys.
You mentioned the star players. I've always felt that in the biggest games, the biggest moments, your stars have to be your stars. What has allowed Crosby and Malkin to continue to thrive despite the fact that they get incredible attention every time they step on the ice?
Because it's Crosby and Malkin. It's not just Crosby or just Malkin.
Right. Good point.
You know, the teams, they feed off of that. They realize that there aren't many teams, if any team, that can shut down both of them. That you can load up and probably feel good about yourself that, hey, we shut down Sid tonight, and then Gino kills you. We shut down Gino, Sid kills you. And if you have the amazing night, almost a perfect night, and you shut both of them down, then maybe it's a Sheary or a Bonino or somebody like that, or a Kunitz, or somebody is dinging you, and you're like, and that's demoralizing. And I think that's why the Penguins have won 8 straight series over the last 2 years is the depth. And I think that takes the pressure off Crosby and Malkin, that going into specific games, they don't feel like, I have to score, I have to score, I have to score, I have to be the guy. They realize if the team's going to win, they have to play their best. They realize they have to put up points. They realize all that. But that's not perfect. That's just the expectations they have of themselves. But I think in years past, they may be overwhelmed by the pressure and the responsibility that they had to be the guy. They don't have to be the guys every single night. Most nights they do if you want to win a Stanley Cup. But to know that if I have a bad night, somebody else can win the game for us has to be quite refreshing.
You understand the grind of the regular season, and you understand the grind of the Stanley Cup playoffs. Explain to all of us mentally what it takes to somehow negotiate all of that.
Yeah, well, the best way for me to explain it to you in a short few words is it's the most difficult thing I ever did in my life, but also the most satisfying.
Right.
And what does that mean? As physically demanding it is, because you test yourself in ways nothing else in this world. There isn't another job on the planet that will test you physically like the Stanley Cup playoffs, because it's pretty much every single night. That you battle through pain that you really don't know when you wake up in the morning how you are going to play a hockey game. But somehow you find something in the middle of your core that gets you through it and is able to subside that pain for 2.5 hours or whatever it is. That's the physical part. Equally as tough is the mental and the emotional part, because your concentration has to be so on point for every second. The emotional part is the stress, the outside distractions, the media, maybe pumping your tires, getting you too high, or if you have a bad game, they're ripping you and you're down too low. So there's that emotional part. But you add in the physical, the mental, and the emotional, it's even when you're asleep in a dead sleep with the REM going, the whole thing, you're still thinking about the game. You're still thinking about your responsibilities. That's incredibly taxing physically and just wears you out. That's why when you see guys raise the Stanley Cup, they barely have enough strength to put 35 pounds of silver over your head, because you're just completely drained and exhausted.
And there was also the addition this year of the grind of playing the World Cup of Hockey. So it was the additional month. The Penguin players did not have a lot of time off between the end of last season. Then they had to play the World Cup of Hockey, then play the regular season, then play the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. I understand that, but especially if you're like a guy like Sid Crosby and you're winning those tournaments and you're winning Stanley Cups, that's energizing. You're not winning or losing triple overtime games where it just knocks the stuffing out of you like you got sucker punched. Sid is well conditioned enough. He gets his rest. He lives his life the right way. He's not out abusing his body at nights. So I think that because of that, and a lot of other guys in the team are like that, that I don't think this is as taxing as we all think it is. I think that they're energized by it. They're driven by it. And like I said, this is a team that's built off of depth. So nobody has to carry that much heavier load than anybody else. And I think that's why this team is so fresh. And also, they've got a coach that is really good at the work-to-rest ratio.
You know how to work with teammates. What's it been like working with a teammate like Mike Lang?
The best. Absolutely the best. I love the guy. Like, he's family. I've said this before, one of my biggest regrets as a player is not taking the time to get to know Mike Lang, the broadcaster. I was so worried about myself and just kind of, did my own thing. I mean, Mike and I interacted, but not as much as we do now. I call him all the time. We go out for beers. We go down to the casino and we have a little fun. I mean, we just have so much in common, mutual respect for each other. He pushes me. I push him in a healthy way. And the way he calls a game is an absolute treat. There's times where I catch myself, just getting kind of daydreaming and just kind of listening to him and not really watching the game, because I just think he's the best in the game. And I'll be honest with you, who knows how much longer we're going to have with him. He's starting to get up there in age, and, his health isn't the best. But, I think we should just kind of thank our lucky stars that we have a Mike Lang to listen to, because he is the best in the game, and who knows how much longer we're going to have him.
Good points, and he is the best in the game. I want to ask you just very quickly, each team brings its own entity, its own personality, because personnel changes. And personnel's about to change again because the expansion draft is coming up. So I want to ask you, as somebody who's been around to every market, how interested are you about the Las Vegas, quote, experiment?
I'm very interested. I think they're going to have a good team. I think a lot of people are thinking they're not going to have a good team. And it sure does seem like Mark Andre Fleury is going there. But I don't think it's a foregone conclusion that he's going to stay there. I mean, it wouldn't shock me if Vegas took him in the draft, in the expansion draft, and then possibly moved him for something more. I think there'll be a lot of goaltenders available, pretty good goaltenders, and I think they'll have a good team. I think if they do have Marc-Andre Fleury in net, I wouldn't be shocked if they made it to the playoffs their first year, obviously as a 7th or 8th seed, but I think they're going to have a pretty good team. I think a lot of people are discounting them. I think there's going to be good players available because of the salary cap and the situation and the parameters of the expansion draft. And so I think that it's going to be really interesting when the list comes out. I think some players might be a little bit chafed, if you know what I mean, if they're on that list to be taken. But, hey, that's sports. That's pro sports. That's why you're compensated so handsomely, is because of situations like this where, sometimes life's not fair. Sometimes pro sports aren't fair, but That's the way things go, but there'll be changes for the Penguins. Hopefully not too many. Pretty sure Matt Cullen's going to retire. I don't want to lose Nick Bonino, but guys like Trevor Daley, Ron Hainsey, who knows, maybe Chris Kunitz could all be gone come September.
Phil, an absolute pleasure. Really appreciate the time and the insight as well. We enjoyed it very, very much.
Yeah, likewise. I enjoyed it, too. Anytime we could talk Penguins hockey, I enjoy it. Anytime you need me, call me back, and this was good hockey talk.
Phil, thanks so much. Phil Bork, the old 2-9er. He knows how to win the Stanley Cup. His name's engraved on there a couple times. How about that? Great to have him on the show. My brother's name is not on the Stanley Cup, even though he attempted to do it. We'll talk to him after the bottom of the hour. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. We're in the Sunbury Motors Studio, Sunbury Motors 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sean, of course, will be on every Friday night during the fall with the high school football show. I know you're looking forward to that, Sean.
Starting 10 weeks from tonight.
And we do know that the other person who's working on the broadcast today has officially applied for the Shikellamy job. But no.
Scuttlebutt. Yeah. Scuttlebutt. Yeah.
Well, the guy that did it last year left.
That's true. You're not lying.
That would indicate to me it's open.
10 weeks from tonight.
On News Radio 1070 WKOK. Great to have Phil Bork on the show today. Yeah, good having, as he said, good to have some good hockey talk on. Yeah, talking a little pucks. In mid-June, we'll talk some baseball coming up on Monday. Lots of baseball. Phillies won last night. It's just the cheating was so blatant. Didn't you see it?
Man, you had your broom ready out, didn't you?
And Chris Sale going last night. Hey, Chris Sale. And, you know.
I was shocked. I was catching Sale stats into the fifth and sixth inning. At that point, I didn't hear the score. I'm thinking, oh, they must be down like, oh, he's up to like eight strikeouts already. We're barely into the sixth inning. I'm thinking it's probably 5-6-0. I was floored that it was still scoreless.
Scoreless, yeah.
It's like, wow.
Yeah.
A very overdue quality win for the team tonight. So get some momentum going and start.
Yeah, I couldn't have been against. The Astros. Thanks so much for
the Diamondbacks. Right.
Yeah. Okay. Fine. You had your fun. Move on. All right. Enjoy your one win. No. How many games did they play? No. That was good. You know, he pitched well last night. That's a good sign. You bring up a guy like that. You know, getting to the sixth inning has been a little tricky for him, and he pitched great last night. And so the bullpen pitched well.
Nola and Corbin will be your pitchers tonight. Matchup of 6:30 will be our pregame tonight here on WKOK.
Right.
Okay.
Yep. So we'll see if they can string a couple together. Sometimes a game like that sparks you. Yeah. Yeah. All right, we're a few minutes away from my brother joining us. After Sean and my brother dominated the wedding reception, it was just... Jack said to me, he said, who are those two people? I said,
oh, did he? He was over on the other end of the room.
You notice he stayed over there.
I noticed your brother went over there a few times, too.
Often.
Where's Kevin? Oh, he's over there talking to Jack. Deb was with her friends on a weekend outing last, and she texted me. She goes, are you sitting with Jack? It's like, nah, didn't get that. So she's like, aw.
Well, he's in the room.
He's in the room. I said the same thing to her. He's in the room. It's all good.
I mean, he was bigger than a closet, but it wasn't exactly the grand ballroom at the Marriott Marquis either. Somewhere in between. Well, I sent him a text today, Jack. I said, hey, I need a favor. And then I called him up. So I told him what the favor was. And it was, to be honest with you, it was like really small. He says, that's it? He says, that's all I have to do? Had to do with him signing something? He says, and you know I'll hold that over your head for something bigger later, don't you? I said, of course I I said, I completely understand that. I said, it wasn't even for me. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
True refreshment can come in many forms, but it can only be found in one place, the Beverage Supermarket, Brewer's Outlet in Sunbury. Along with their great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, they have lots of water, soda, fresh roasted peanuts, and an unbelievable variety of pickles at the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and your favorite snacks, too. Get true refreshment all in one place, the Beverage Supermarket, Brewer's Outlet in Sunbury.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors can. Routes 11 and 15 in beautiful downtown Hummel's Wharf. And today's show brought to you by Brewer's Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. Now through Tuesday, Labatt Ale 12-pack cans, $9.95. Coors Original 24-pack bottles, $17.97. Dos Equis 12-pack cans, $11.98. And Zima now back in stock. All at Brewer's Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And the pickles, indeed, second to none at the Pickle Bar. Love the barrels, love the dills. Our brother now joins us on the show after he and Sean stole the show at the reception.
That was wonderful. How are you?
I'm doing well. I have to admit, I saw the Dos Equis 12 cans at Brewer's Outlet.
Right.
Which then reminded me of the most interesting man in the world. Somebody assembled 102 quotes from the most interesting man in the world. Here are just a few of them. His passport requires no photograph. He once went to a psychic to warn her. Superman has pajamas with his logo on it.
I like that.
Superman has pajamas with his logo on it. Let's see. The circus ran away to join him. His signature won a Pulitzer Prize. Sharks have a week dedicated to him.
Yeah.
He once made a weeping willow laugh. He lives vicariously through himself. His business card simply says, "I'll call you." He bowls overhand. In museums, he is allowed to touch the art. The Holy Grail is looking for him. He once won the World Series of Poker using Uno cards.
Draw four.
He never wears a watch because time is always on his side. Batman watches Saturday morning cartoons about him. Mosquitoes refuse to bite him purely out of respect.
If I had one out of those 100, I'd take that.
That's funny.
His shadow has been placed on the best dress list twice. While swimming off the coast of Australia, he once scratched the underbelly of the great white with his right hand. The star on his Christmas tree is tracked by NASA. His shirts never wrinkle. Let's see. Even his tree houses have fully finished basements. He's never lost a game of chance. He once caught the Loch Ness Monster with a cane pole, but threw it back. He has inside jokes with people he's never met. He's considered a national treasure in countries he's never visited. If he was to pat you on the back, you would list it on your resume. He is indeed the most interesting man in the world. Dos Equis on sale right now at Brewers Outlet.
Okay, I just got a text from Corey. Thanks for that longer than anticipated commercial.
Hey, those pickles are really good.
What's that?
The pickles?
The pickles
are really good.
Awesome.
Yeah. So.
Presidents take his birthday off. His pillow is cool on both sides.
Stuart Scott, God bless you.
There you go. So, we had a good time at the wedding. Your wife was the absolute life of the
party.
Your wife was the absolute life of the party.
Yeah, she's a wonderful woman.
I thought Sean, the lampshade was a bit over the top, but you know it fit the moment.
Sorry about that. I caught you two dancing together, but it was just for a quick couple of seconds. But I was still way over at my table. I was
off. I was enjoying it, and he broke it off.
I thought you were gonna dip Steve. I was waiting for that.
Well, I was ready to roll, and then he pulled away. You know what are you gonna do?
Oh goodness!
We had a good rhythm going. But you can really dance, fire. Steve, man. You were out there cutting the rug, you know. You were really dancing.
He was grooving.
Yeah.
I did have a couple of people say, this is a side of you we haven't seen.
Oh my God. Were you drinking?
Maybe the last time. No. You know me. You know me. No. It wasn't.
Yeah. Well, I imagine if you were drunk. Holy cow.
Oh, goodness gracious. So, what do we got on the what we got trivia today? What do we got here?
I got a couple questions. I can throw one out.
I got some.
Okay. Let me see if I can. Kev, you got one ready?
Yeah, I got one ready.
Okay, go ahead.
He has his notebook right there.
The binder.
Look, just
how
don't close the binder when you're handing it.
How many left-handed players played in the NBA in 2017?
Oh, jeez.
I'll repeat it.
30.
Huh?
Go ahead.
How many left-handed players played in the NBA in 2017?
I'll say 38.
Sean?
I'll go 25.
41.
Well,
38
close.
Was
all
a
right.
Good guess, man.
Very.
You almost had me hang up.
Very close. So. Very close.
He gets this one, I'm hanging up.
You know, it's interesting. The U.S. Open's being played. Phil Mickelson, who's known as Lefty, is actually right-handed.
Yeah, I know.
Jordan Spieth.
Golf is like the only thing he does left-handed.
Yeah. Yeah. Jordan Spieth is actually left-handed.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
He's playing in Hartford this year. We're going to go watch.
Good for him. I'm glad it's something Tiger Woods never did.
Yeah, I know. Hartford's turning into quite the tournament, you know. Mickelson's won it twice. Bubba Watson's won it twice. Watson comes every year because it was his first tournament he ever won.
Yeah.
And that's when nobody knew who Bubba Watson was, and it launched his career. Hartford's turning into a popular tournament. So.
And the first professional tournament win for Arnold Palmer.
Yeah. Lee Trevino played it every year. This is where he met his wife in Hartford.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. So.
Now that,
okay,
that,
next
in fact,
trivia.
By the way, Hartford and Scottsdale are probably the top two in attendance at golf tournaments every year. Unbelievable.
Yeah,
people
Hartford had a hard time for a few years. It kind of dipped off because they were always the week after the British
Open. U.S.
Open.
Yeah,
and the players would take it off. And they moved it, got a few new sponsors, and now it's launched again. When Sammy Davis had it, it was huge.
Yeah.
But, of course, he passed away, and things kind of dropped off. But now, to their credit, they rebuilt it, and it is—it's a fun tournament. It's very audience-friendly. You know, they have the holes where you can just sit there all day long. A lot of hills around the holes. It's a beautiful course. So.
And they call it stadium golf.
Yeah, and it is set up for that, and it's a fun tournament. So. 1 year I followed Sergio and Mickelson around the whole tournament. It was fun watching them together, you know. Mm. They really have a good time. So.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm done.
John?
I got some college. Kevin, Steve, and I have been kind of reflecting, kind of like we've been saying this week, oh, man, time is flying. Football is going to start before we know it. High school football down here in Pennsylvania is going to start 10 weeks from tonight. This is a college football question. All right, so take these four coaches out of the equation. Okay, Nick Saban, Urban Meyer, Jimbo Fisher, and Dabo Sweeney. So take those four out. Only eight Power 5 coaches have won 9 or more games in each of the last 2 seasons. Only 8 Power 5 coaches have won 9 or more games in each of the last 2 seasons. But take Saban, Meyer, Fisher, and Sweeney out of those 8. See if you can get like 4. See if you can get 4 of them.
Bob Stoops. Mike Gundy.
Mike Gundy is correct. He has 20 wins.
Well, Stoops has got to be there, right? Or is he out because he's retired?
Actually, Stoops is not on the list.
Okay. Let's see.
The guy from Michigan State.
No, because they only won three games last year.
Yeah.
Oh. Jim Harbaugh.
Jim Harbaugh has 20 wins in the past two seasons.
Yeah. Let's see here.
Power Five coaches that have won nine or more games in each of the last two seasons.
The Oregon coach.
No, not a Mark Helfrich, no.
No.
Has Chris Peterson done it?
Not on the list.
Okay. David Shaw, but they didn't have a great year this year.
David Shaw with 22 wins.
Okay, David Shaw.
Stanford coach.
Yeah. Let's see. Actually, we're getting a lot of them here.
Five to go.
Texas A&M coach.
Kevin Sumlin?
No.
Yeah.
No.
That's a good guess.
Let's see. Who else
Washington
would be on that? That's Chris Peterson.
That's Chris Peterson, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
UCLA.
No, because they didn't have a good year this year.
No.
Now, Jim Mora, they didn't make a bowl game.
No.
USC.
Paul Christ?
Paul Christ is correct. 21 wins.
Yeah, baby. I didn't know his name. But...
Oh, boy.
So the other four on the list have won either 18 or 19 games in the past two seasons.
Not Butch Jones?
Butch Jones is correct. 18 wins, Tennessee.
Tennessee.
Now these remaining three, two of them are in the ACC.
North Carolina
coaches.
North Carolina's coach. The heck is his name? Larry.
No.
Fedora.
Yeah.
No. He's not there.
No.
Well, the heck with him.
Okay.
Kind of hard because coaches have changed over.
You're right. Then that and one of them is Mark Richt, but you figure one of them was with Georgia.
That's what I was saying. Mark Richt did it with Georgia when they played Penn State, then he did it with Miami.
One Georgia, one Miami, 19 wins.
That definitely won.
Yeah. So one remaining coach, ACC. The other one is in the Pac-12.
Well, I think it wouldn't be the Pac-12, but like I keep thinking it's not Rich Rodriguez.
Well, that'd be Arizona.
No.
No, it's not.
It'd be Kyle Whittingham.
Kyle Whittingham?
He had
Utah.
19.
Okay.
And the other one was Jim McElwain of Florida. He had 19. 19 wins in the last two seasons.
Yeah, he's done a great job inheriting somebody else's talent.
Yeah. So there you go.
Okay. Wow. Okay.
Okay, Steve, you're up.
All right. Oklahoma, under Bud Wilkinson, won 47 consecutive games. What school broke their winning streak?
In football?
Yep.
Some reason I'm thinking the Howard Schnellenberger teams from Miami.
No.
Notre Dame.
It is. Kevin got it right. Notre Dame.
Yeah, baby.
Beat them 7-0, if I remember correctly.
I get so excited when I get one right. Okay.
Feels like
Michael Jordan. Jordan played at North Carolina. It was not his first choice of schools. What was his first choice?
Wow.
if it's in state. I'll say Duke.
No.
UNC Wilmington.
Nope, UCLA.
What? Might as well go with the, like, his hometown team.
Yeah.
Yeah, well,
Sean,
probably,
you're up, buddy.
That was always the running joke. Name the only man that could keep Michael Jordan under 20 points per game. Dean Smith.
Who's that?
Dean Smith, the coach of North Carolina.
Oh, that's true. And he did, too.
Because he played team ball, that's why.
All right, so one more here to wrap up the week. Baseball, from earlier this week, Ichiro Suzuki now plays with Miami. He hit a pinch-hit single a couple of nights ago. And at that night, he tied, and now he has the most career interleague play hits of all time. So he's cleared 365 total interleague play hits of all time. Who held that record before Ichiro Suzuki?
Wow.
Most career interleague play hits of all time. Who held the record before Ichiro Suzuki did?
I will vote for David Ortiz.
Incorrect.
Well, the heck with you. You can leave.
Okay, thanks. Talk to you Monday.
Dustin Pedroia.
Dustin Pedroia?
Not right, but stay in the American League.
I'll say Cabrera from Detroit.
Great guess, but not right. That was a great guess.
Sure it was.
It was a great guess.
That's wrong. It's wrong.
It was a great guess.
Wrong.
Huh. Derek Jeter.
No, Hans incorrect.
Kevin, one more time.
Please. Derek Jeter.
Ding, ding, ding.
I was right?
Sir.
That's a son I never had, I'm telling you. I love that kid. Was it Derek Jeter?
Yeah.
Wow.
You got two of them
I'm
right
rolling today. Give me more. No.
I got a quick one.
That's all we got time for.
You got to get this. Who invented the toilet seat?
Sir Thomas Crapper.
Yes.
Yes, it's true.
Isn't that funny? Yeah. All mine are from Trivia Track. That just cracked me up, Sir Thomas Crapper, which in turn invented the term crap. So.
Which is a term that has been used for this show. All right.
Crap.
By the way, Keith Mull wrote on our Facebook page in praise of you.
What?
So you can say thanks to Keith. He loves having you on the show.
Oh, well, thank you, Keith. I love being on the show. It's fun. I look forward to it each week. Crap.
And that wraps it up for this week.
It should.
Matt Cotrillo, great job running it. Kev, thanks. Sean, thank you. And we're back on Monday on News Radio 1070 WKOK.